50 is a big anniversary for a person, for an organization. Regrets, of course. Successes, probably. Peace and quiet, hardly. Especially if, as in the case of Amnesty, the past year has been punctuated by some very public controversies, but I'll come to those later. So, start with this picture. An ordinary citizen sits in an ordinary home, writing an extraordinary letter on behalf of somebody they don't know to a dictator who doesn't care. A total waste of time? Well, that's their business. But, wait a moment. The letter says, "We know you have imprisoned X. We know that they are illegally detained. We know you won't take any notice, but be warned. We'll go on writing until you have freed them, and we won't stop watching you." A long shot? Oh, yes. An act of faith? No question. But that is Amnesty in action, as it has been for 50 years now. And it began with an absurd act of faith by one man at one moment. The man was a British lawyer, Peter Benenson.
I was sitting in a tube train reading a paper. Yeah, it was on the 19th of December, 1960. And in it, I read of two Portuguese students who'd been arrested, charged, and sentenced. The only evidence against them was that, over the dinner table, they'd conspired to overthrow the government. I thought then, what a crazy world this is, where two friends can't have dinner together without being arrested. I felt like walking straight round to the Portuguese embassy and demanding their release, there and then. But what was the use? In the next few days, I determined to try and mobilize public opinion throughout the world, if that were at all possible. And I spoke about it soon afterwards to my friend and colleague, Louis Blom Cooper, who's a lawyer like myself.
He came to me because he knew I was the legal correspondent of The Observer. And of course, the actual publication on prisoners of conscience, as it was called, was on the front of the review section of The Observer. And I think the prominence of it was very important.
It always helps whom you know, and it certainly helped to have the campaigning liberal editor of The Observer, David Astor, on your side. But Peter Benenson was no routine man with a good idea. His personality, says Louis Blom Cooper, was persuasive.
He was certainly a visionary. He was one of those people who had a charisma as well as a real talent and highly intelligent. He was always, I think, on the verge of mental instability. I think he was probably a manic depressive.
Did you think there was something inherently very implausible about the idea of writing letters into the void to unpleasant governments and saying, "We know you've imprisoned X, but we're watching you"?
There was a certainly a high degree of optimism that this would actually produce effects. But the answer is, it did. I mean, I had an instance of it. I think I did probably the first mission to Ghana. And I went to try and get the release of Dr. Dankwa, who was the opponent to Nkrumah and had been detained without trial. I got a very, very dusty answer. I was shown the door without much ado. But literally within months, 150 people were released by the Ghana government. Now, I don't think it was any direct cause and effect, but I think the fact there was an organisation which had gone to the extent of sending somebody on a mission alerted them to their image in the international world.
The idea caught on. Political prisoners, prisoners of conscience, were acutely of their time in the 1960s, a world thick with dictatorship and totalitarianism. Fascist dictatorships in Spain, Portugal and much of Latin America, despots aplenty in Africa, communism from East Germany through the Soviet Union to China. And Peter Benenson found that he was far from alone in wanting to confront the despots of whatever hue. Stephanie Grant was Amnesty's first research director.
A number of the volunteers came from situations in which they themselves or their families had direct experience of persecution. There were a number of exiles, emigres, refugees from Central Europe. There were Jews whose families had perished, and there were also quite a high number of Roman Catholics and quite a high number of Quakers. There was the Prisoner of Conscience Library, which was run by a Hungarian lady, and she entered the names of all prisoners of conscience who came to the notice of amnesty on a 6x4 index card.